Hi, this is Matt Welsh for Spiritual Media Blog, the news source for spiritual entertainment. And tonight, I am here with Veronica Gabrielle Laberry. Veronica is a pioneer in the study and teaching of A Course in Miracles and is a proclaimed visionary, spiritual teacher, and writer. An ardent student of the Course for 22 years, Veronica Gabrielle has guided thousands of students down a path leading straight into a life of joy, peace, and empowered action. Her incandescent teaching style illuminates our spirits and opens windows into the awareness of what we truly are. Veronica, thank you so much for being here with us tonight.
Thank you, Matthew.
So to get started, tonight we're going to be talking about meditation. So just a pretty basic question, what exactly is meditation?
Well, in understanding what it is, you will know what it is not. Meditation is mental discipline. And discipline is putting you in charge of you. And discipline is training that corrects and molds. Meditation is reflection, contemplation. It's going inward to empty the mind. So the purpose of meditation is to slow down the fast, rushing, racing, restless activity of the mind. So some form of discipline is necessary. Discipline means disciple, follower, devotee. It's training, it's self-mastery. So discipline becomes a very important facet of our spiritual development, because unless we're disciplined, an undisciplined mind can accomplish nothing, but a disciplined mind can. So your purpose in meditation is to understand the mind and discover reality. Your purpose in meditation is to observe your passing thoughts without judgment. Judgment is an unacceptable thought about someone or something. You know, the mind is always racing so fast, we lack the time to finish the thought, much less to check on the quality of the thought, because we're not using the mind. The mind is using us. In meditation, you are transforming consciousness one thought at a time. You're changing. You're bringing about a change in your life. So whenever a stray thought, we say, grabs your attention, our part is to, you are the observer observing. You're not judging it as being right or wrong, good or bad. You're just observing the thought. You're not feeding it. You're not giving it any power. You're remaining detached. And detachment is not, it's not weakness. It's inner strength. So through the practice of meditation, you are gaining inner strength and creating balance in your life. Balance means being and living around natural, continuous energy. When the mind is not in balance, well, we all know what happens. We're worrying, we're planning, we're deciding, we're evaluating. We are assessing, we're trying to figure things out. We think we have problems and we want to solve the problem. When we begin to meditate, which is something I've been doing for 25 years, you're setting a pattern for you, because it's about you. It's about your life and your relationship with yourself, each other, and the planet. So you want to give yourself space and room early in the morning before moving on through your day. You want to start your day by going inward. And then you want to also end the day by going inward again. So you're not taking all of the activity of the day into your sleep. We have to understand that positive thoughts are slow, sound, and kind. And in that state of observation, you feel a sense of calmness, serenity, certainty. You have what I call aha moments. So you're now in meditation. You're present. The mind is now in the now moment. So whatever you do, whatever your work is, by giving it your full attention, the very work or act is a meditation. And anyone who can keep their attention on a task or goal without wavering is the mark of a genius. And that those genius powers are there within all of us. So through the practice of discipline and meditation, your mind is in communication with everything that is real. You become responsible, trustworthy, you have integrity, good, firm morals and values, because discipline is the foundation for successful living, which keeps us functioning effectively and efficiently toward the full expression of what we are. And the whole purpose of meditation is to end the past and come to a greater awareness of what we are. So discipline over your thoughts and habits is primary, not secondary. Because when the mind is disciplined through the practice of meditation, everything just falls easily and effortlessly into place, because there's no drama, there's no confusion. Yes, we have practical matters to tend to, but you're allowing the mind, in whatever comes up, to first of all, you're detaching from what seems to be taking place outside of you, and you're allowing the mind to reach inward to access the wisdom that will direct your efforts in where to go or what to do. And if in that moment there is nothing for you to do, then you do nothing. You wait. Spiritual discipline, meditation, it's imperative in our development, because it is what it's doing, what meditation is doing, is it's establishing order and righteous living in your life. You're no longer surviving according to man-made rules and ideas, but you're awakening to life, life eternal, because you're using your mind in the right way, and right ideas are flowing through you. You're flowing with the light. The light is flowing through the instrument, through the channel. You are coming to a greater awareness of the essence that is your true self. For many, many, many years in my own practice, I've always said, I am the genius power that influences multitudes of souls. And that genius power is there within all of us, because you're gaining control over the mind. Gaining control over the mind is one of the hardest tasks you will ever have. Meditation is exercise for reducing our selfish attachments with a sense of ease and grace, because what you're doing is you're burning out the fire of the selfish will, so your true self, the love, the essence of what you are, can emerge. And so without any sort of meaning, full aspiration, we end up falling by the wayside long before our time. In meditation, it's not about begging or pleading with God, consciousness, the source of life, the source of all, to remove our problems or our fears or asking for things that are in form. No, your purpose in meditation is to release so you can remember. And in meditation, if your attention wanders, you bring it back. You may be repeating a mantra or a spiritual passage from any of the world's scriptures. If your mind wanders while repeating the passage, you bring it back and start over again, because you are gaining mastery over your thoughts. You're really telling the thoughts where to go and how to behave, because you are in charge. And if you can slip away and come back, slip away and come back, and you did that 1,000 times, you're making progress, because you're merging, connecting, aligning, establishing a relationship with the source of life, the source that gave us life. So our part is not to delude ourselves that the source that gave us life, whatever name we want to use, God, light, love, consciousness, higher self, does not matter. Life within us knows. And we have to tap inward. We've done everything backwards on this planet. And now where humanity is, more than ever, we have to put spiritual principles. There has to be some sort of discipline in our lives. Otherwise, we're destroying ourselves. So we really have to wake up and realize that the externals are not going to do it for us, and we have to be vigilant, devoted in our practice, because the discovery must first be made inside, because the inside determines the outside. Because that's where you live. You are your thoughts. So you're transforming consciousness one thought at a time. In meditation, you're giving yourself space and room to be in the quiet, to explore, to discover, to have periods of wordlessness. We're so afraid of the silence. Stillness within us knows. When your mind begins to go astray, you know, sometimes I hear people say, oh my gosh, and I sat down in meditation and my mind was just here, there, and everywhere. Training the mind is like training a puppy. You don't allow the puppy to come into the house and just roam around here, there, and everywhere. The mind has been roaming around largely through our own neglect. And now here, you're beginning to quiet the mind and pay attention to your thoughts. Well, there's nothing the false self loves more than to keep us in time and identifying with a frail physical body as being the source of strength. The physical body is part of our experience, but the true essence of what you are is a body of light. So through meditation, you're merging, you're connecting, you're becoming rooted, grounded within yourself. And you're calling on the power of light, your true self, for support and assistance. You're calling on your light body. It will respond. So for me, and I know for many of us who meditate, meditation and the mantra, and the mantra is a powerful spiritual formula for transforming consciousness, and are the two basic tools for mastering the thinking process. So our part is, don't dwell on the thought, if it's a stray thought. Diffuse it by choosing again another thought of a higher vibration. So it's you're standing guard at the door of your mind, because you're healing. Healing is letting go. So in meditation, you're letting go of all that you've made. And we have so much that's buried at the subconscious level. And we come back lifetime after lifetime to clean up, so to speak, the mess that we've made. So you're healing an obstruction caused by an imbalance. And as I said earlier, you're creating balance in your life. So everything that seemed stale and dull and boredom disappears from your life, because you're mastering the thinking process. You are the thinker of the thought. So you are taking responsibility for your thoughts, because in the end, it's not about anyone else. It's about you and only you and your relationship with yourself, because you think with thought and you see with thought, and you see what your thoughts are projecting. So in meditation, you're transforming consciousness, and to transform is to change. So you're shifting worlds. You're coming out from a world of time, excuse me, and the mind is shifting to timelessness. And there's nothing, we call it the ego, the false self, the superficial self, there's nothing the ego loves more but in keeping you in time, keeping you in the deception. See, when your deepest desire is to see and be aware of the core essence of your true self. Without meditation, the mind is really compared to a fish out of water, gasping and trashing about, you know. Training the mind, Gandhi once said, is having the patience of someone trying to empty the sea with a teacup. It requires enormous practice. It's like anything else. So you start off very slowly, and the willingness is there. You wake up early in the morning. You give yourself, doesn't have to be 30 minutes. 10, 15 minutes is sufficient. The willingness, your willingness to practice is sufficient, because you want to go beneath the surface. See, on the surface, which is where most of humanity has been and many still are, and this is why we have to turn inward, on the surface, you're seeing everything in fragmented pieces. On the surface, you are clinging to things on the outside that cannot give us joy. Joy is our birthright. Things and conditions cannot give us joy, because nothing external is secure and nothing physical ever lasts. Yes, some things do last longer than others. But beneath the surface, and this is what happens in meditation, beneath the surface, you're clinging to the source that gave you life, who is with you all the time, your constant companion, forever and forever. And in meditation, your deepest desire is to know your true self. Every spiritual teaching says the same thing. Know thyself. It's the beginning of wisdom. And so through your dedication in your practice, you're sort of chipping away. You're releasing. It's a dying and a birthing process you're going through. You're dying to the old, and the new is emerging, because you're retraining your mind. And when you dive beneath the surface of your mind through the practice of meditation, you don't see anything that looks familiar the way you knew it or saw it while floating on the surface, because you're beginning to see differently. Because you're really now seeing with spiritual sight. You're training your inner eye.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I really like how you talk about how it's about discipline and in the morning and the evening and a lot of the benefits we can receive. But, I mean, I know there's a lot of people out there who have been meditating for 5, 10 years, and they haven't experienced those benefits, what sort of advice would you have for them to meditate deeper and experience those benefits?
Well, first of all, when we sit quietly and allow the mind to reach inward, you don't know what anything is for. So you are entering into the silence with an open mind, an open heart, and empty hands. Because you are coming in to be filled. You are coming in with one intent. I don't know what anything is for. I'm here to empty the mind. So what is already there can come to my awareness. In meditation, you're not asking for the things of time. The mind is shifting from fear to love. You're healing the distortion in your mind. And the only effective way to make progress is by letting go of our selfish desires, which have imprisoned us, and our selfish desires or our fears, and allowing our selfless desires to set us free. So in meditation, you're ending the mental struggle, because we struggle against what we are and what we've made, because we live in a universe of duality, and that duality is built into the mind. In meditation, you're healing that split. You're healing the distortion. You're letting go of what you thought, just our ideas of what you thought was real, and opening your mind to accept what is real. So it's the selfish will versus the selfless will. In meditation, you're raising your vibration. You know, the moment we stop growing and expanding in consciousness, we are on a downward decline. And we have to utilize our gifts and talents. And we all came in equipped. So we ask, well, what can I do? Well, practice. And this discipline is available to all of us. No certain equipment is necessary. We're all equipped. No costly outlay of cash. Just willingness and desire to practice. There's nothing more fulfilling than expressing the essence of what we are. Because two opposing thought systems cannot occupy the mind at the same time. So in meditation, you're letting go of distorted historical time concepts, intellectual concepts, because intellectual concepts cannot reveal the fullness of life. Only wisdom can. So in meditation, you're tapping into what I call the wisdom principle within you. And principle is code of conduct, law, or truth.
And that makes a lot of sense. And I know you talked a lot about that and some more things in your book, Things to Know About A Course in Miracles, Revelations for the 21st Century. Can you talk a little bit about that book and how that some of your ideas can help you meditate deeper from there?
Well, again, the book for me was a simplified interpretation of the 1,200 texts of A Course in Miracles based on my 25 years of experience. And knowing, and again, discipline. Every morning, I got up early before I woke the children up for school, and I'm a single mom raising two children. I got up early, and I spent 30 minutes in meditation. And again, at night, before retiring to bed. And when you have you want to have the same space that you can come to. You can light a candle if you choose to, but let it be the same space, the same room, because the energy becomes enchanted. You know through your discipline that just as you know 7 o'clock is dinner time, you're training the mind to remember, 10 o'clock is meditation time. so you're quiet in the mind before retiring for the night. Because whatever thoughts you're carrying or entertaining throughout the day, you're taking them with you through your sleep. And this is why for most people, our sleep is not sleep. See, the nervous system breathes a sigh of relief and is trying to repair the damage done throughout the day, because we're taking all of that into our sleep. So we're not sleeping. And then we get up the next day and we do the same thing again. So who would call us wise? In meditation, every thought should be well directed.
Yeah, that sounds like a great idea. And I know you've also done some work with some of the sound technology for meditation. Can you talk a little bit about that is and how that can help?
Yeah, we have a light and sound unit. It's a creative visualization unit that have, I suppose you can get as many as you'd like on the unit, but 13 of my meditations on the unit supporting you for quieting the mind, to take you to that inner space swiftly. It's very effective. Again, it's a discipline. You use it. Yeah, because in meditation, you really come into the awareness that the externals are not going to do it for us.
Right.
Because there's no security in anything outside of us. Because in meditation, you're blowing out the selfish will, so the selfless will can emerge. So the whole purpose of meditation is for us to escape from limitation, lack, limitation, sacrifice, pain, suffering. This is what humanity is facing now. We have to raise our vibration, and we can only do so through the devoted practice of prayer and meditation. So we have to maintain an attitude of silence.
Yeah, no, I think that makes a lot of sense. I like how you describe it as a devoted practice, because it really sometimes does seem like something that we just need to practice and but also remain devoted to. And Veronica, I want to open up the line to get questions from other people, and I also know that you're going to take us through guided meditation later, so I want to leave some time for that as well.
Mm-hmm.
But before I open up the line, Where can people find out more about you if they want to get in touch with you or find out more about you? Do you have a website or another place people can get in touch with you?
Yeah, I have a website. I'm on the radio 2 days a week. But you can find me at LaBarry Retreats, LaBarryRetreats, all one word, LaBarryRetreats.org, or A Course in Miracles, YourGuide.com.
All right, and I'll open up the line for questions in just a minute or two. But before I do that, did you have any sort of remarks or thoughts or suggestions you wanted to add before we open up the lines for questions?
You know, we just have to make a decision to practice and just do it. You know, I often hear people say, I meditate, I contemplate, I reflect, I read books, I pray, I search, whatever. Pieces of a different reality. It's different than anything we've been accustomed to on the surface. Yes, we're still in a physical universe. We eat, we sleep, we drink, we walk, we talk. But your life becomes that meditation because you're living from within and extending out.
Yeah, I like that. I've heard that phrase before, when your life becomes a meditation.
You live it. You're living it.
Yeah. Some people talk about spirit of living, turning your life into a meditation is a very, very powerful statement. I like that. All right, well, with that being said, I will press a button basically to unmute the callers, and that will open up the line, and if people have questions, they can ask Veronica questions. We got time for maybe about 10 minutes of questions, and then Veronica is going to take us through a guided meditation. I will open up the line in just a second. Okay, the conference line is now open. If anybody has any questions, I will stop talking for the next couple of seconds and somebody can speak into this space. So feel free to ask a question now.
Hi, Veronica. This is Shireen Droz calling you from Manhattan Beach, California. Thank you so much for being on the call.
Thank you.
I have two questions. One is, how do you get started? And then the second one is, what's the difference between guided meditation and just focusing on your breathing? And if you can speak a little bit more about the breathing part of it, I would greatly appreciate it.
Okay. Well, when we sit quietly in meditation, whether we are focusing on the we really have to know and feel what feels comfortable, what is right for you. There are times I sit in meditation and I'm repeating a sacred passage, and there are times I sit in meditation and I'm just repeating my mantra. And then there are times I sit in meditation and I'm just focusing on my breath. So whatever feels comfortable for you is right for you.
Okay.
I think that's a really good. Did you have any follow-up questions for her?
No, that was a great answer. Thank you.
Veronica?
Yes.
Hi, it's Alana.
Hi.
Yes, thank you for this call this evening. And my question to you is, having been a longtime meditator both here and in Japan in retreat, how do you come into alignment with manifestation in the third dimension on the material plane?
Well, first of all, in meditation, you're training the mind in a systematic way.
Yeah.
Because it's been untrained.
Right.
And an untrained mind can accomplish nothing.
Okay.
So in meditation, you are, again, as I said earlier, you're approaching, you're coming in, you're going inward.
Uh-huh.
You're open to receive.
Okay.
See? Because your purpose in meditation is to attain the wisdom and the knowledge of what we have forgotten. Because we came into this third dimensional dense consciousness. It's the densest universe there is. We slowed down our vibration and forgot.
It was like hitting a brick wall for me.
Well, for some of us, yes, it's like hitting a brick wall. So someone may say, well, my God, I've been meditating for 20 years or 15 years or whatever. The fact is, it really has nothing to do with time, because time is the illusion. The fact is, you are devoted in your practice because you are devoted to you. Because the purpose of meditation is that you are becoming, you want to become self-sufficient.
Yes.
And self-supportive.
Yes.
And the only way we can become self-sufficient and self-supportive is by knowing thyself.
In the third dimension.
Yes. You're in it, as the mystics say. You're in it, but you're not of it. See, you're in the physical body, but you're functioning from a higher realm. And so for me, it's like you're looking down, then you're watching everything going on around you, and you're really seeing how comical it all is. See, because when self-sufficiency, when you become self-sufficient and self-supportive, you blossom. Because you're doing what you love, you're loving what you do, and you're in service to the source that gave you life. In other words, I often say, I work for the agency of love, light, and wisdom. Because you're doing what you love, you're loving what you do, you're being directed where to go, what to do, whom to speak to, and what to say. You're living. You're not surviving. If you know, when we move through our days, you know, if your eyes are wandering, your mind is wandering. Because you see with thought, and we think with thought. So whatever you're engaged in or entangled in, as I was saying earlier, throughout the day, it's likely to follow you into your meditation because part of your mind is still feeding the thoughts of that experience, preventing you from going deeper. So someone may say, well, what do I do? Detach. Diffuse the thought by choosing a higher frequency thought. Again, you can repeat your mantra. You can call on your light body for support and assistance.
In the third dimension.
Yep.
All right. Thank you.
Those are some great questions. Anybody else? I'll pause for a few seconds, and people can feel free to ask some more questions.
Yes, my name is... Hey, go ahead. My name is Richard and Veronica. I was wondering, I'm fairly new to meditation, and the other night I was trying to just get comfortable with my body, but it was just, there was pains here and there, and I just couldn't get comfortable. Mm-hmm. What's your suggestion on just how to deal with that situation?
Okay. We have to understand that the ego's home is the body, and its purpose is to keep us identifying with this frail physical body as being the source of our strength. So when you sit down in meditation and, you know, you're feeling uncomfortable and you're just moving around and can't seem to, you know, be still, again, you're calling on your light body. You're not giving up in the face of adversity. You're choosing your choice. Again, you're disciplining yourself. You're exercising a discipline by paying attention to, you can call on the light, you can repeat your mantra, to sort of, whatever you're experiencing in the body is coming from the mind. It's always the thought that comes first. See, and in meditation, the ego wants no part of meditation because the ego wants no part of truth. And you are choosing to quiet the mind, to be still, so I can hear, so I know. So again, if it happens once, then you don't give up. You go back, you do it again.
Sitting out on the porch.
You keep practicing and practicing and practicing.
That's great.
You don't give up in the face of adversity. Because in meditation, you're parking your mind. That is in overdrive.
Have you found that the more you practice, has it become easier for you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yes, yes. It is because, again, because through your practice, your life becomes a meditation because you're living from within and extending out. And whatever challenges we have, you're moving through it. We have to have challenges. Without challenges, how would we grow? If there were no difficulties, we would only be skimming on the surface, seeing everything in fragmented pieces, because we have excluded ourselves from our true reality. So in meditation, through your committed practice, and commitment is an obligation, it's a duty, it's a promise to do something. So you made a promise to yourself that I will get up early in the morning and I will sit for 15 minutes in meditation. And again at night, I will sit 10:30, 10 o'clock before going to bed. I will meditate again. It's only the first few steps that seem hard. Once you fall into the practice of it, again, it's with you all the time.
Yeah, I like that. We have a couple more minutes for questions. So if somebody is out there and has another question for Veronica, I'll be quiet for a few seconds so people can speak into the space.
Well, this is Tom Henry, and I've known Veronica for a while, and she's actually helped me in the past and has stabilized my life as I was going through a difficult time. And I wanted to say thank you because my life has prospered and my heart and soul are healing, and I'm very grateful for your teachings. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. See, in meditation, you're surrendering. You're letting go of your need to be in control. You're surrendering to the fullness of life because your deepest desire is to live completely in the present. You know, someone asked me once, well, did Jesus have an immediate awakening? We cannot have an immediate awakening. It would be too traumatic. It would be more than our nervous system can handle. And so this is why we go through the process of practice, patience. If Jesus had immediate awakening, it's because he did not have an enormous amount of baggage weighing him down. We have to let go of all that we've made, so the mind can return to its natural state of childlike simplicity. So in meditation, it's a chipping away.
Yeah, it's another good way to look at it. Well, again, I mean, if somebody has a question out there, I'll be quiet.
I have a question. Could you, Veronica, speak about, I heard this word, getting into a gap. I'm not quite sure what that is. Could you explain that to us?
Getting into a gap?
Yeah, they said sometimes when you meditate, you have access to get into the gap. I don't know if that's the correct word or not, but I guess it's a place that you don't recognize the time or the place, or I guess it's
well,
just
well,
meditation.
That's what happens. Yeah, well, that's what happens when, you know, in meditation, as I said earlier, you're going from floating on the surface. On the surface of life, which is where most people not even live, it's survival programming, according to man-made rules and ideas, we are seeing with the body's eyes. So we are seeing things the way we want to see it and not the way it truly is. So when we begin to meditate, you're beginning to see the wholeness of everything. I am related to you. I am related to the tree. I am related to everything else. Everything else is one. You're becoming more and more aware, because in meditation you're being molded in the exact replica of wholeness. You're becoming aware that I am. I am perfect, whole, and complete. Nothing is missing. And this molding is taking place through your willingness to practice daily. And as the molding takes place, you are moving forward. You're expanding in consciousness. You know, consciousness is a sort of molding clay. It's pure and shapeless. It takes on form, because we live in a world of form. This is a universe of form. What is form? That which is subject to change. What is truth? That what does not change. See? So it takes in form through the senses, and you're beginning to be shaped in the image is thought, in which you were created. Wholeness, holiness, sacredness, purity, perfection, and beauty, and you are developing a deeper sense of trust and understanding of life. So someone may say to me, well, how should I seek? What is the best method? Well, in the Eastern teachings, it's silence. In the Western teachings, it's pray without ceasing. Both methods work. and bring the same result. A Course in Miracles teaches us we keep searching for it in different forms, and that prevents us from reaching it. Quiet the mind. Be still. We already know. We all came in encoded. In meditation, you're harnessing your God-given energy of compassion, faith, trust, knowing, not believing. We all have beliefs. You know there's a sense of certainty within you. There's a sense of security, trust.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And these have been some really great questions, and this is a topic that we could probably talk about for hours, but I really want to make sure we get a chance to experience this live all. So what I'm going to do is, in a minute or two, I'm going to mute the call again, and then Veronica is going to take us through a meditation, and just so we can carry that that meditative space with us, I'm actually going to end the call immediately after she is done. So instead of saying goodbyes then, I'll just sort of say thank you to Veronica now for being on this call. And thank you all, everybody who joined us tonight. I really, really appreciate your contribution and your questions, too. This is a very, very powerful call.
Thank you, Matthew. Thank you, Veronica.
Thank you, Matthew.
Thank you. All right, with that being said, I'm going to mute this line, and then, Veronica, I'll let you know that the line is muted and you can begin.
Okay.
All right, Veronica, the conference line is muted, so I will let you take us through this guided meditation, and then we will end the call after that.
I invoke the energies of all the Ascended Masters, Archangels, and Angels to be with us. We welcome your grace and your presence. Relax and remain open to receive. You are being assisted to free your mind through this meditation. Meditation is the medicine for the mind. Travel inward in order to know. By quieting your mind through the practice of meditation. When you feel a sense of uncertainty or doubt, and everything around you seems to move with a twisting, whirling motion, you feel out of balance. You're falling below a standard of your accustomed level. Call on the strength of light to take command. So you remain firm, steadfast, and unwavering. Just like butter firms by churning. There's no need to tremble and quail in fear. Light is with you at all times. Let the brilliant light that you are glow with incandescent vitality. You are strong in light. Light is joy, understanding, wisdom, strength, goodness, pristine purity, thoughtfulness, compassion, love, kindness, givingness, sharing, and gentleness. The gentle have no pain. They live in light. Tell yourself silently and thoughtfully, with fixed determination, I am the living light. I am the living light. Through continuous effort, you will reach the state in your mind like the tongue of a flame that does not flicker. Travel inward and explore your inner world. Practice in willingness and honesty. Come in closer, closer, and closer to the light. Light is never frightening. You made up the prison in which you see yourself. Let the sweet nectar of the light comfort your soul. Let nothing delay your remembering. Your goal is to remember what you are. Nothing can replace the fact that you are the living light. Whatever replacements you have attempted are nothing. Release and remember as you clear the cobwebs and remember that your single purpose is light. And you are here to joyously serve the light. Tell yourself silently and thoughtfully, I crave the light. I crave the light. This is an energetic reminder for you to play a role assigned to you, something you've known for a long time within yourself. Open your mind to receive and remember. Feel a lightening of weight across your chest, a feeling of release and relief. Tell yourself, the integrity of my mind is sacred and holy. The integrity of my mind is sacred and holy. Let the idea sink deep into your consciousness. Allow it to flow over you like a blanket of protection. Breathe deeply now. And feel your light body. The body speaks a language of energy. Feel a sense of lightness in any situation in which you find yourself uncertain. Ask yourself, what do I want to come of this? What is it for? The answer will come. It may not be the answer you want to hear, but it will be the right answer. Never doubt. Trust. You are relaxed. There is no interference or intrusions. Everything is bright, new, clean, fresh, and alive, sparkling with radiant light. You are obeying the silent command of the voice of light, reminding you of what you are. Welcome home to your paradise of light. Offer to the light everything you do not want. Light knows what to do with it. Remember this. God has no name. When you say the word God, you're not referring to someone outside or out there. You're calling on your true self, who is inside and outside all the time and always present. The door is never locked. Just knock with desire and it will open. It has no latch. In order to know that there is someone there, you must be willing to go deep within your mind to discover that God has always been there. You wandered off in a world of illusions and darkness. You are awakening now to your natural home. Welcome home to your native home of light. We must unlearn in order to remember. be awake to life right here and right now. Sense your freedom. It's what you do want. You're being cleansed and purified. Feel the light force steering you onward. Feel penetrating energy rising through your body. You are completely relaxed as you rest in the stillness of now. Relax your mind and take a bath in the sacred pool of light. If you overlook the light, you're overlooking yourself. Stand tall and claim your divine inheritance. Be true to yourself and realize that in the silence of your mind, you crave the light. Try to take ownership of your joy by uninterrupted practice. Allow rays of light to drop like pearls into your mind. You're celebrating the end of all you thought you made. Your savage dreams and foolish fantasies all mean nothing. Refuse to be sidetracked into detours. Open your mind to receive. There is a treasure house of richness within you. The only way to recognize and make use of this richness is through the disciplined practice of meditation. Dig in the fields of your mind for your forgotten treasures. Quietness is your strength and your journey to peace. Tell yourself, I will be still and listen to the stillness within. I will be still and listen to the stillness within. Breathe the holy air, for there is nothing else. Feel a sense of release and relief. You're comfortable now. You're resting in the silence, for it is there you will meet yourself. Divine light descends upon all of us, and we are purified and blessed. For this we're grateful, and so it is.